Haunted UK podcast Short Haunts is produced and released in stereo. Listening through an environment such as headphones or stereo speakers will ensure you get the best experience. Here at Haunted UK Podcast Towers, we're committed to giving you high-quality, great episodes, time after time after time. But this takes a lot of effort in research, writing, editing, recording, mixing, mastering, and publishing. We don't have a fancy production company or a bank of scriptwriters, or a large budget to keep everything going. We are a fully independent podcast. If you'd like to help the show, then why not get over to Ko-fi and search for the Haunted UK podcast, where you can subscribe to give just £3 per month, the price of a Ko-fi, or as much as you like. If you'd rather not sign up for a monthly subscription, then you can simply make a one-off donation, again, as little or as much as you like. This really helps the show with our website, Ko-fi membership, merchandise, equipment, as well as other financial commitments. So, if you feel that you'd like to keep the lights burning, the wheels turning, and the stories rolling, then why not consider getting over to Ko-fi and donating to the show? That's Ko-fi and search for the Haunted UK podcast. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Haunted UK Podcast's Short Haunts. Welcome, dear listeners, to our series of Short Haunts. A shot of scary, just for you. So grab a hot chocolate, maybe a tea, maybe something stronger, because this is Haunted UK Podcast's Short Haunts, a medium most haunted. The following story was sent in by a listener and longtime supporter of the show, who wishes to remain anonymous. So for the purposes of this episode, we'll call this listener Rachel. As an open-minded skeptic myself, I'm always trying to find rational explanations for the paranormal and supernatural, but not to the extent of dismissing the witness's claims. It's important to keep your options open when you have a witness who is brave enough to come forward and share an experience which doesn't seem to fit into any logical box of an explanation. But every now and then, a story comes along from a witness who is incredibly level-headed, skeptical, curious to find reasoning and explanation where others have either failed completely or misread the incident. This is such a story, an incident which involves two friends, and even as I was reading it, I began to think to myself, could this possibly be the most profound case of proof of the paranormal? We'll let Rachel take over from here. I should start off by saying that I'm a skeptic who's had unexplained experiences. I'm not religious nor spiritual, and I always like to look for an explanation when it comes to the paranormal. But there have been a few times when I couldn't find an explanation. I do consider the following story to be of a paranormal nature, because I simply have no rational way of explaining what went on, what caused the events, how they happened, and why they happened to me. I've been a goth since I was in my late teens, and have always loved ghost stories since a child. I now live with a very old churchyard behind my back garden, and every Halloween, my husband and I put on a popular haunted house show, using our front and back gardens for locals of all ages to enjoy our family-friendly projected spooks and special effects. We do this to raise money for our local cat shelter, a charity which we feel very strongly about. As a young child, my parents took me to Disney World. At the time, the attraction called the Haunted Mansion had not long been open. To my four-year-old brain, all the ghosts in it were real, and the ride promised that if you stayed behind, you would become a happy haunt yourself. As a spooky child, I thought that even at that age, that I had found where I truly fitted in, and I didn't want to leave the ride. The last ghost, Little Leota, says you can join them if you bring your death certificate. So, I refused to leave until my parents gave me a death certificate. Not knowing, of course, what a death certificate was, but I knew I wanted one. My dad had to explain that it wasn't real, that it was all special effects, and moreover, and to my disappointment, that it would be many years before I'd get a death certificate. My parents agreed to go on the ride again, and again, to show me it wasn't real, and that started my love of Halloween, ghosts, and spooky effects. When I was 6 years old, my mum was taking me, as normal in the school holidays, to stay with my grandmother for the day, as both my parents worked and my grandmother lived alone. I was very close to my grandmother, and as I was the first grandchild in the family, she spoiled me rotten. In my mum's beige Capri car on the way there, my mum explained that Poppet, my grandmother's ginger cat, had passed away, and that under no circumstances was I allowed to ask about Poppet, as my grandmother would be very sad. This was my first experience of a death, and my mum explained that Poppet wouldn't be at my grandmother's house, and that death meant not coming back. At lunchtime, my grandmother went into the kitchen to make us lunch, and she was a great cook. She very much loved children and loved to feed them. And it was as she was preparing lunch that something very strange happened. As was his habit, Poppet the ginger cat appeared at the window on the outside, sitting on the windowsill. Poppet had his red collar on, and as usual, he was pawing at the glass, trying to get in. He used to do this every lunchtime. I wasn't scared, as it was Poppet, and I was about to let him in when I suddenly remembered my mum saying that Poppet had died, and that meant he shouldn't be here. I also remembered her warning me that mentioning Poppet would upset my grandmother. So for a few moments, I considered the situation, and Poppet was still there, looking at me, and asking to be let in as he normally would do. I decided that my mum must be wrong, and that maybe animals sometimes come back, because there was Poppet, right at the window, like normal. I went to my grandmother in the kitchen, and being quite grown up for my age, I began by saying that I didn't want her to be sad or mad, but Poppet was at the window asking to come in, and I didn't know if it was okay to let him in. My grandmother was not amused, and it was the only time she was stern with me. She told me that I was not being funny, and it was cruel of me to joke about Poppet as he was dead. I replied that I wasn't making a joke, and that Poppet really was at the window. I was so insistent that she asked me to show her. We went through the dining room doors into the lounge, and there at the lounge window, which faced the front of the house, fully solid, was Poppet, her ginger cat in his red collar, just sitting on the windowsill. My grandmother asked me patiently where Poppet was, but I was confused because we were both looking straight at him. I pointed out where he was, but my grandmother said she couldn't see him. I pointed out where he was again and asked if I could let him in. My grandmother realized that I was deadly serious and said, "Yes, let him in." I stepped forward to go to the window, and as I did this, Poppet began to turn transparent and slowly faded away until he disappeared. I went straight to the window and opened it and looked outside for him. There was no cat there. I went to the front door and went into the garden, even looked up the street. There was no cat around, and certainly no Poppet. My grandmother wasn't angry with me, as she could see that I had seen something and wasn't making it up. We didn't speak of it again, and I asked her not to tell my parents, as my mum would be very upset with me, as she had told me not to talk about Poppet. My grandmother agreed, and she never told anyone else about Poppet. Years passed, and in my mid-teens, my grandmother was sadly dying of cancer. When she was in a hospice, and it was just me and her, she asked me if I really did see Poppet, her ginger cat. We hadn't mentioned it in all those years. She knew I was, by that point, an atheist, and I told her, yes, I did see Poppet and I can't explain it, but it did happen. This seemed to give her some comfort that death might not be the end, and I said to her that I would always love a sign from her in the future, so she can prove to me that I'm wrong. She laughed and promised that if she could, she would give me a sign, and importantly, she said she would leave me in no doubt that it was her. I have always been death positive, in that I do not shy away from discussing it or knowing what the last wishes of my family and friends are so that they can be fulfilled. I had lost two other grandparents before my grandmother died, as well as the family dog and a few family cats, so I was no stranger to death. When I was 21 years old, I was at university studying law and living in a flat on my own. I had a friend who was also a goth, and she was often round my house. She was having trouble in her life and had frequently visited a medium who was kind of a fortune teller. This medium didn't contact the dead as such, but she had a spirit guide who would tell you your fortunes if you had upsetting times in your life. It was clear to me that this medium was taking advantage of my friend because she was going far too often, and she didn't really have the money to spend on this. As an atheist, I do not believe in fortune telling. However, my friend was adamant that this lady was the real deal. But at the same time, she did come clean and admit that she couldn't really continue these visits because she couldn't afford it, but was afraid to stop in case it brought more bad luck to her life. I offered to join my friend and have a reading done myself so that I could prove to her that this lady didn't have the ability to see into the future. My friend accepted this offer, and she booked me in for an appointment straight after hers. She didn't tell the medium that it was my plan to test her abilities and gave her no details about me or my personal life. At the time, I had a black Mini, and we were listening to Sisters of Mercy on my cassette player as we pulled up to the very nice house in Hove where the medium lived. I've always had a good eye for details, and I noticed straight away the fairly new Jaguar on the drive. Once we got into the house, I noticed there were plenty of antiques and classical style original paintings, both landscapes and portraits on the wall, all in expensive frames in a large hallway. The carpet was thick and of very good quality, and the house was located on an expensive street. I thought, this medium must be doing a very good trade on vulnerable people, or perhaps her husband or partner had a very good job, perhaps an antique dealer. The house was very much decorated in a tasteful, but in more of a formal period style, and the expensive furniture and antiques complemented this look. The medium asked that I wait on a chair in the hall whilst my friend had her reading, because, she explained, my energy would merge with my friend's and make a reading difficult. I nodded and said I was happy to wait. It gave me time to take a good look at my surroundings, and as an only child, I'm very happy in my own company. In my mind, it felt as though she didn't want me in there at the same time that she was giving my friend her reading. Maybe because she felt a little wary of me, that I may pick up on her using cold or hot reading to get information. I knew that she had to be using some sort of tactic, and I just wanted to be able to prove to my friend which one, so that my friend could free herself of the need to keep spending money that she didn't have on these readings. After around 30 minutes, my friend appeared from the lounge, her reading complete. It was then her turn to wait in the hall whilst I had my reading. The medium politely led me into a very comfortable bright lounge with lots of natural light bathing the whole space. Through the windows, you were treated to the view of a lovely, well-established large garden. Like the hallway, the furniture was older in fashion, but immaculate and expensive, and there were plenty of antiques in the lounge as well. As I took my seat, I noticed that the curtains were the bespoke kind with pelmets on them. And then the medium sat opposite me and started her reading. It was soon clear to me that she was using a mixture of both cold reading and Barnum statements. As previously stated, my friend hadn't told the medium anything about me, and I made it clear to her that as she was asking questions, I would only answer them if they meant something to me. It was quite obvious that she wasn't very happy with this, but she started her reading anyway by asking me if I knew several male names beginning with P. I said yes to the name of a person I didn't know, which was Philip. I wanted to see what she did with it, where she would go, and her next tactic of questioning. She then asked if my grandfather had passed, because she felt that she had an older man by the name of Philip coming through, and this person had the aura of a grandfather figure to her. I said yes, even though both my grandfathers who had passed were not called Philip, and I didn't know anyone called Philip. She then described an older man that could fit the description of almost anyone, another Barnum statement, and said that this person missed me, but knew I would do well in life, and he was proud of me and how I had turned out. One of my grandfathers died before I was born, and the other one, who I'd loved dearly, passed away when I was 10 years old. He wouldn't really have approved of my goth fashion, as he was old-fashioned and wore a suit, bow tie, and hat. She then said she was being told by her spirit guide that I was a student. Now, I was dressed as a romantic goth, with black and purple hair, black velvet clothes with spiderweb detailed lace on the sleeves, and lots of pentacles and a choker. I also had the then fashionable white face makeup, dark purple lipstick, and very heavy black eye makeup. Back in those days, if you were dressed like that, you were most likely a student, as most employers didn't like multicolored hair, and certainly wouldn't like my gothic fashion. She then explained that I would be very happy in love and would marry and have children. I knew that whilst I wasn't looking for marriage, I certainly never wanted children of my own, as I wanted a career instead, and I've never had maternal feelings. But then the strangest thing happened. Suddenly, she sat bolt upright in her chair and said in a shocked and loud voice, "Do you remember the ginger cat?" Now that got my attention. Only my grandmother and I knew about Poppet's post-death appearance. I never told my parents about it, and I certainly hadn't told my friend. Whilst this was in the days before the internet was as big as it is now, I hadn't posted anything about it online either. I said, "Yes, I do remember, The medium then said in a voice that wasn't hers, but was my grandmother's, "Windscreen vipers, windscreen vipers." And she then used my birth first name. I hated my birth first name, and so age 10, I decided I would change it when I legally could. And I did so when I was 18. My friend only knew me by my current first name. She didn't know my former first name at all. My grandmother was a Czech refugee in World War II, and she couldn't pronounce her W's. She said them as V's instead. As a young kid, when she would pick me up from school, I would repeatedly point at the windscreen wipers and ask her what those were called. Bless her, she humoured me by saying windscreen vipers every time. This was something I did on repeat over the years, as I found it really funny. No one else knew about this, not even my parents. As I got older, I realized I was being rude to my grandmother by doing this, and I didn't admit I did it to anyone else as I was embarrassed by it. So again, this was something only my grandmother and I knew about. When I heard the medium speak in my grandmother's voice and those words, that really got my attention, and suddenly, I really had to know how she had heard those words and my old first name. I asked the medium to tell me more, but she was totally freaking out and very upset. She said I brought a spirit to her and she was ending the reading early. She ordered me to leave.
Just go, leave, get out of my house.
I said to her that it must have been her first genuine paranormal experience, then got up to go back to my friend in the hall. I'd been in the reading for only around 10 minutes of the 30-minute appointment, so my friend was surprised to see me. The medium told both of us never to come back and ushered us both quickly out of her front door. Once we got into the car, I told her that the medium was fake, and I told her that the irony was that she had her first paranormal experience with me, and it had frightened her so much that she wanted us both out of her house. I explained to my friend that other than my grandmother and I, no one else knew of Poppet the cat or of windscreen vipers. I also told my friend that the medium was using a mixture of cold and hot reading, and that until the real paranormal experience happened, the medium was just making stuff up. My friend admitted she felt relief, as it was the medium who kept telling her that she had to book appointments in order for future good luck to continue. My friend finally realized she was being conned by this particular lady and never went back. I can't explain how the medium knew the information about the ginger cat or the windscreen vipers. I've tried many times over the years to work it out, and I feel there must be a logical explanation, because I don't believe in ghosts, God, the devil, or heaven. However, as I was very close to my grandmother, I have a hope deep down that if it was my grandmother, wherever she is, she's happy. I like to think well played to my grandmother, because that got my attention, just as she said she would before she died. On the plus side, my friend and I didn't have to pay the medium, as payment, which was always in cash of course, was taken afterwards, and she threw us both straight out of the house without asking for her money. I often wonder if the medium saw the error of her ways and gave up her readings. I'd like to think that she did. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of this short haunt and leaves us with many questions regarding this story and the experiences of Rachel. How did the medium get such specific hits during Rachel's reading? Starting off with simple cold reading and Barnum statements, but then suddenly seemingly able to pull information from out of the air. Information which only two people knew about. What took the medium over? Her spirit guide? For real? Or was it a sign from Rachel's grandmother? had she really come back to make contact. I usually have big problems with mediums and clairvoyants, but just like Rachel, I'm at a loss on how to explain how this medium could have known such specific details. And this then begs the $64,000 question. Was the medium the real deal after all? Did she have the gift of being able to make contact with the dead, but didn't realize it until the incident with Rachel? And was that experience, which Rachel rightly pointed out to the medium, their first real paranormal incident? And did it scare the medium so much that she didn't know how to handle it? It remains to be seen whether this strange and disturbing incident changed the mindset of the medium, choosing instead to either pack up completely or to use her supposed real ability to do good things. I myself have never sought the services of a medium or clairvoyant, and I doubt that I ever will. But if it's something that you may be considering, then please keep your senses on high alert. Stay focused, and say nothing to give any clues about why you're there. Because that way, if you feel the slight breath of the dead about your living bones as the medium fixes you a cast iron glare and then gives you frighteningly accurate information, it's then that you know that the next person to be the subject of a short haunt could be you. Do you have an interesting story which features the paranormal? If so, your story could be featured in our series, Short Haunts. Please get in touch via email at hauntedukpodcast@hotmail.com, on Twitter at hauntedukpod, or on Instagram at hauntedukpodcast. We're waiting for your stories. This episode was presented by Steve, produced by Pink Flamingo Home Studio, and the script was edited by Marie Waller Proofreading. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the show.